This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley, and our co-host by phone again is Bridget Ayer. Bridget, hello.
Hello, hello. Good to be with you.
All right, so we are all ready to have our Faith in Action program here. And it's just, you're noticing as a listener, I'm sure you're noticing a little bit difference in the quality of the broadcast in that Bridget is also by phone here during the virus quarantine here and everything like that. So we appreciate Bridget doing that for us and lining up all of our guests and everything. And speaking of guests, you've got a great one lined up.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because this we're going to be talking about the Catholic Church in crisis, and there has been various crises over the 2,000-year history by various measures. One could certainly say that the Church is in the midst of a crisis, and we're not even talking about the pandemic. We're talking about another crisis. Our guest today is Peter Doan. He's the Director of Evangelization at St. Elizabeth Seton in Carmel, and he's also the author of a new book, Encounter Jesus, Transforming Culture in Crisis. So welcome to Faith in Action, Peter.
Thank you, Bridget and Jim. Nice to be with you this morning.
Again.
The Church is in crisis. Peter, you talk about Catholic culture. What is that?
So Catholic culture, Bridget, as I see it, is the way that we live our lives outside of 1 hour of Mass a week. It's the 24/7 part of Catholic Christianity that we're living in our homes, which obviously we're experiencing right now with families being quarantined. But the culture is the way of life of a certain group of people, we Catholics, and how we're taking the, as the Pope said, the source and summit of our faith and living that out on a daily basis.
You have a really interesting background, and we've had you on before. I think we spoke with you maybe a year and a half ago or so about the Alpha program, which is kind of an evangelization program there at St. Elizabeth Seton. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you happened to write this book.
So I was brought up in an Irish Catholic home, and my wife was brought up in an Italian Catholic home. We both went to Catholic grade school. We both went through, as they call it, CCD in those days, and
mm-hmm.
then we became became children of the 60s and the 70s. We're involved in the hippie movement of
mm-hmm.
those days.
Flower children.
Yes, exactly. And during that process of time, my Catholic faith began to ebb from my life, and I found myself, when I was a junior in college, basically totally distanced from the faith. During that period of time, some young men came from Ohio State University to my campus, and they came to the house in which I live and shared with me and the household about what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When they were sharing, my heart literally and physically began to burn inside, and I could tell God was stirring up the faith of my childhood. After those young men left that night, I went up on in my room by myself, got on my knees. I called upon the name of the Lord, and a deep encounter with Jesus Christ just enveloped me in the room. And at that point, I was living the life of St. Augustine pre his saint days. I literally could feel darkness just leave my life, and Jesus came in, and overnight he transformed me to where I was a hippie with all the tokens of that, to a outspoken Christian who began to go to the streets and share my faith with others.
And you actually then became a pastor at some point, right?
Yes, yeah, from there, what evolved was an evangelical ministry on campus. I've helped found a campus ministry And from there, I entered into evangelical Christianity, and I became an evangelical pastor and missionary. And I did that for 30-plus years. And then 10 years ago, my wife and I returned to the Catholic Church, which was, as I said, the church of our childhood.
Now, in the book, tell us again the name of the book and why you happened to write it.
Okay, so the title of the book is Encounter Jesus, subtitled Transforming Catholic Culture in Crisis. So after my wife and I returned to the church 10 years ago, I wanted to rediscover what I had been missing for those years, and so I entered St. Meinrad Seminary in Theology School and worked on and received my master's in theology. And during that time of study, I began to see and become aware of these statistics of where the church was at and how it was evolving. I particularly noted this survey group that comes out of Georgetown University called CARA, and they were putting out statistics of where the church was at from 1960 until the present. For instance, like I noted that 49%, there was a 49% decline in infant baptisms, 54% decline in Catholic marriages, 46% decline in First Communions. And the list went on, and it began to create within me a question of what exactly is going on. And in my research and in my study in the seminary and in my dialogue with the Benedictine monks and just with the laity, I began to develop this vision of going back to the apostolic church where everything started with an encounter with Jesus Christ, and that formed the culture, or that dictated the culture in which they lived out their faith.
Now, Peter, did you find it different when you were talking about your early days as the hippie that just discovered Jesus? Did you find that the people that you encountered there had a more of a fire or a zeal for the religion that they were talking about, Christian religion, but the religion they were talking about, than the Catholic Church, which may have been a little more sedate, a little quieter?
So, yes. Definitely, there was a big Time magazine article on the Jesus Revolution, they called it, because it was so revolutionary in that people were outspoken in their faith. There were people that were kind of taking it to the street. So it's interesting, and I noted this in my book, that we probably had about 200-plus young people, college-age students, in our campus ministry, and my guesstimate would be that about 70 to 80% of those young people were brought up in Catholic homes. And what happened to them is that they had this encounter. They had this commitment that they made to Jesus Christ that actualized their baptisms, their confirmations, and all of a sudden they became on fire for their faith, and it began to actualize in their lives.
Now, Peter, we're talking with Peter Doan. He is the evangelization director at St. Elizabeth Seton, and we're talking about his new book, Encounter Jesus, Transforming Catholic Culture in Crisis. And in the book, you take a historical look at the church. Can you talk a little bit about some of the crisis points that have happened, like every 500 years or so?
Yes. You know, it's interesting, but churches have said to us that there seems to be a major earth-shaking crisis every 500 years in the church. They go back to around the 450s or 500 AD to articulate the first crisis, which was the fall of Rome. And we know at that time, the Christians became began to associate the fall of Rome with the fall of their faith in Christianity as well. It was during that time that Augustine wrote The City of God, where he explained that the city of God and the city of man were two different things. The city of man would come and go, but the city of God would last forever. And it's interesting that during this time, God rose up people like Saint Benedict, who who was really the father of Western monasticism, and other individual saints that really forged the way for coming through the crisis to birth a new day.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I just thought that was a really fascinating aspect of you know, looking back of the different crises, and then go forward again and with the next crisis.
So then the next crisis we hit is the obvious one in 1000 AD, 500 years later, and that is the historical split between the Eastern Church and the Western Church in 1054. And that caused all kinds of ripples, obviously, throughout the church. And it's interesting, again, that during that time, God picked individual saints to bring us back to the spirituality that Jesus gave us in and through his relationship with the apostles and in the Acts of the Apostles. We have names like St. Francis of Assisi, who modeled all his spirituality after how Jesus formed his 12 and then sent them out two by two. And he modeled his whole spirituality after that. Also St. Dominic, who rose up shortly after this period of time, who focused on the preaching of the gospel. And then also, obviously, St. Clare, who showed women in their spirituality from the female side. So during that period of time, again, God rose up people that took us back. And then finally, we come to the next 500 period, which is the Reformation and just the upheaval that was going on in the church. Tetzel was selling his indulgences. And there was a real crisis within the clergy and the religious. And at that time, God rose up again, saints like Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross, that showed us there wasn't a problem with the doctrine of the church, but what we had lost was the culture of the spirituality of the church, and they caused us to look at that anew and brought reform to the church through that.
So we have about a minute before our first break here, Peter. How would you describe or pinpoint the crisis that we're in right now?
So the crisis that we're in right now is, as I alluded to earlier, is all of these statistics that tell us that there's a decline, and then we're also made aware of that 25% of Catholics now are weekly attenders. That the second largest denomination, if you called it a denomination in America, would be what we call former Catholics. It came out recently, I believe it was about 8 months ago or so, that a large percentage of Catholics no longer believe in the real presence of Christ and the Eucharist. And finally, I think that this summarizes everything, that for every new person that enters the church baptism, six people are leaving. So you combine that with the crisis in the clergy, and it forces us to begin to look at what exactly is God saying and doing with our Catholicism.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Peter Doan about the solution and how we go forward in this crisis. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a ministry reaching out to Central Indiana and beyond. We have information available about what's happening in parishes here in the Hoosier Heartland, as well as access to the latest from Rome, plus apologetics and authentic Catholic teaching. We are your source for 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley is in the studio on via phone, as well as our guest. We're talking with Peter Doan. He's the Director of Evangelization at St. Elizabeth Seton in Carmel, and we're talking about his new book, Encounter Jesus, Transforming Catholic Culture in Crisis. So, Peter, let's talk about the kerygma. What is that, and why do we need to be doing that?
So, Bridget and Jim, this is one of the real key elements that I hope comes out through my book. In fact, in Chapter 2, I call it Recovering the Lost Treasure. The kerygma, very simply put, is the proclamation of what Jesus did as he suffered, died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. And not only that, but it's the invitation, as this is preached, for people to enter into that, what we in Catholic theology call the Paschal Mystery. The great example of this, of course, is Peter on the day of Pentecost. If you look at what he did, there's in my book I point out there's five specific elements to the preaching of the kerygma, as it's called. And as he did, as he preached this, it stirred the hearts of the listeners. It caused them to say, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And then Peter gave them the invitation. It's interesting that Jesus said to Peter and the apostles that I will give you the keys to the kingdom of God. And as I point out in chapter 2 about the kerygma, the keys to the kingdom are that which is given to people in order that they might enter in. So the way that everyone needs to enter in is this encounter with Jesus Christ, which comes through a choice that we make by God's grace and a yielding to what that proclamation is. And this is something, as I point out in chapter 2, that in our Catholic culture, I think the problem has been that we assume because a Catholic Christian has been baptized or received the sacrament that they have responded to this invitation or this proclamation. And the reason I call it the lost treasure is because this is the proclamation that I think over time has moved to the area of assumption rather than intentionality, and one that it becomes proactive by clergy, religious, and laity alike.
Now, Peter, when you are talking about the accepting Christ and things, is that something that has to be done on an intellectual level, an emotional level, a spiritual level? Can somebody do it entirely on an intellectual level?
I that's a good question, Jim, and I think that it's spirit, soul, and body. I think it's emotion, it's intellectual, and my model for responding to the kerygma is Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, she's called the star of the evangelization in the new evangelization thinking because she classically received an invitation from the angel Gabriel sent by heaven, and she needed to make a decision, and we call it the fiat, and she said yes to that invitation. And talk about encountering Jesus Christ. You cannot get any more intimacy in terms of an encounter than she did when she literally received Jesus Christ physically into her womb and therefore becomes classically to us the mother of God. So she becomes a model of what it means to be encountering Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to note that she also was there on the day of Pentecost where the apostles received the Holy Spirit and that encounter became actualized even on a deeper measure.
So you have a chapter, I think it's called The Elephant in the Room. What is the elephant in the room?
So, yeah, that The Elephant in the Room is about the efficacy of the sacrament happening in the life of the Catholic believer. And what I mean by that is we believe that the seven sacraments bring to us a sanctifying grace that is a expression of the life of Jesus coming to us. And, of course, the source and summit of our faith is the Eucharist itself. St. Thomas Aquinas taught us that we have a responsibility to receive those graces. And he used the word sincerity. And he focused on confirmation, but it really, I think, can be transferred into all the different sacraments. And it's this, that there's a responsibility on the receiver to be sincere in the way that they receive sacrament. In other words, there's a proper form and matter that comes from the giver, Jesus Christ, through the priest. But then on the other side, there is a responsibility for us to receive. The Catechism talks about us being properly disposed toward the sacrament. If we have not encountered Jesus Christ or presently encountering him, then we're not able to fully receive the sacrament and its graces because that sincerity or being properly disposed is cut short. There was a priest friend that said from Cleveland said that he was at his masses. He'd see this young man that would come in late and leave right after he received Eucharist. And after a while, the priest who cared for the young man went to him and said, "Now, John, I noticed you come late and you receive and you leave right after Eucharist. Why is that?" And he said, "Well, Father, I got my sacrament." And so the elephant in the room is a call to the sacrament and sincerity, like St. Thomas Aquinas said, that again is rooted in the encounter with Jesus Christ that is the beginning of properly receiving sacraments.
So, Peter, I have two really important questions, and we only have about 3.5 minutes left or so. So the one question is, how do you facilitate the invitation to hear that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you, and that he wants to be in relationship with you? How do you facilitate those conversations or those opportunities, either in the family or in ministry?
So there's a movement afoot within the Catholic Church right now, including in our diocese, where the bishop is talking about the importance of the kerygma. And what needs to take place is that in the pulpits and ambos of Catholic churches, from bishops' chairs and among the laity, we need to begin to talk to people about what it means to encounter Jesus Christ. What goes into that encounter? A lot of times in Catholic teaching, we call it catechesis. In the Catholic Church, catechesis is where we take someone from milk to meat, from childhood to adulthood in their faith. And in the past, catechesis has not included this kerygma element that starts people out with what it means to encounter Jesus Christ, what it means to say yes, like Mary did, to have her fiat operative in our life. So what we're looking at is bringing this overlay of the kerygma or the invitation or the proclamation of what it means to encounter Jesus Christ into the very fabric of the teaching of the church.
Now, Peter, you've been talking about a new book that you have written, and we don't want to let time slip by here without letting people know, again, the title of the book and where they can get it.
Okay, so the title of the book is Encounter Jesus, Transforming Catholic Culture in Crisis. If you go to Amazon and type in the title of that book, Encounter Jesus, then it will take you to the site and you can order and it'll have it to you in 1 or 2 days.
And we'll also put a link to that on the podcast of this show. And one other thing I wanted to mention, Peter, that I really liked is that you have such a call to action for people to start reading Scripture, in particular, Acts. We have about a couple minutes left. Talk about the importance of reading Acts. I mean, we're reading it during this Easter season, so talk about that real quick.
So one of the premises of my book is that God gave us the Acts of the Apostles to demonstrate what it means to have what I call an apostolic culture or an apostolic spirituality. Rather than relegating the Acts of the Apostles to something that took place in 2,000 years ago that cannot be replicated today, what I try to do in my book is to take the key elements of the Acts of the Apostles and to picture what it would look like in the life of the believer today. For instance, like one of the things that you notice in the Acts of the Apostles is that there was signs and wonders and healing that the early church they were involved in a spiritual warfare that took place regularly in their lives, and also they were willing to suffer for the gospel. In other words, they were willing to take risks and step out and say to the culture, you know, that the answer is Jesus Christ. So the Acts of the Apostles, I think, is the blueprint for renewal in the crisis of the church as we live in this 21st century.
And the other really great thing that I liked about your book was that after each chapter you have like kind of a homework assignment. You have a real little thing that gives you things that you can actually do. But during this Easter season, if we can be reading the Acts of the Apostles, that would be our homework assignment right during this Easter season, right?
Yeah, I was in a conference recently, and one of the bishops was meeting with the Pope, and the Pope told him to go home, preach Jesus, and read the Acts of the Apostles.
Well, we'll take that to heart, Peter. Our guest today has been Peter Doan, Director of Evangelization at St. Elizabeth Seton in Carmel, and his new book is called Encounter Jesus, Transforming Catholic Culture in Crisis, and you can get that on Amazon. Peter, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thanks, Bridget and Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you.
We'll look forward to reading some more of your book there.
Amen.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.